Chapter 14. I came to as the morning sun cast its light across the bed. The previous evening's killing spree had certainly been eventful, but what occurred when we returned to our flat was the highlight of the evening. The clothes that Madame Neera gave us were now in shreds on the floor, and there were pieces of green satin over every surface from the dress that Ash had worn. The only thing that stayed in one piece was the actual bed itself, but just barely. There was a crack that trickled down one of the posts, and I couldn't remember seeing that before. Now Ash lazily toyed with a patch of my choppy black hair, and she drew spirals over my bare chest with her other hand. She paused for a moment as her pink eyes looked up at me, and then she gave me a coy smile before returning to the small movements. The morning light made her pale skin shine, and I was very tempted to have a repeat session of our encounter from last night. But as stunningly beautiful as Ash was, I had far too much on my mind to give her my full attention this morning. Because the crime syndicate we intended to take over was paying off a priest of the church. Last night, I'd watched that evil bastard put his palms together and bow his head to those he passed, and every damn one of them bowed even lower and offered reverent smiles in return. None of them could possibly know he was involved in the illegal workings of the Shadow Quarters, but he was, and that introduced several complications for us. Or maybe only one or two. We'd wanted a position that could ensure our protection from the church, and the Dark Elves organization certainly had that in spades. If we played our hand carefully, we could still be in the perfect position by taking over their operation, but the more I thought it over, the more I was certain we had one very important hole to fill in our grand scheme. The elusive man we'd been tracking and who had been conducting the transactions with the priest needed to absolutely remain employed, and he'd need to absolutely remain silent about the change in command. That was what our plan was relying on, but unfortunately, he'd vanished into thin air.
"Are you okay?"
Ash asked from beside me.
"You seem distracted."
"Yeah. I was thinking about the human who the Dark Elf hired to make the rounds. We need to find him if we're going to keep this priest from suspecting something's off with the business. But how do we find a man who has vanished into thin air?"
"And what do we do if he uses that orb to vanish on us?"
"Exactly."
"Are these Dark Elves too difficult for us to take over?"
Ash asked with a concerned frown. "No, we're fucking demons. They're just mortals, Ash."
"Yes. But who knows what else they're capable of? If they have a large supply of orbs, they could have the ability to do anything, and we have no idea what."
"Which is another reason why we need to find this human. There are far too many unanswered questions, but once we have those answers, we can still conduct a smooth takeover. All we need is one person on the inside to give us what we need."
"And for that person to remain loyal."
Ash groaned, and she flopped onto my chest. I chuckled as I stroked her back, but I wasn't as concerned about this point as she seemed to be. The Dark Elves just had a decently airtight operation going, which meant we'd be fucking untouchable if we succeeded. This was the opportunity we needed, and if we could solve all our issues by finding one man alone, then it wasn't nearly so difficult as it could be. Once that man was found, the job of convincing him to remain loyal would be almost easy if my experience in the hellscape counted for anything. "I'll handle the problem with the human man," I murmured to my demon lover. "Trust me on that."
"Well, I think it's just as important that we find out some more about this double-dealing priest,"
Ash mumbled against my chest. "Yes, everything we can. If we're going to be paying him off, we need to know what we gain in return, or more specifically, what these elves were gaining in return."
"Do you think the church knows anything about their operations?"
"I doubt it, which means this priest could be more dangerous than we expect."
"Exactly."
Ash sighed and sat up again. A thought suddenly came into my mind, a memory from my first day on the surface world. "The church rounded up a bunch of Dark Elves."
"Before I came here, right?"
"Yeah. But I doubt that's connected, and I'm going to assume it was a completely different group.
Why is that?
Well, those elves didn't appear nearly as rich as these dark fuckers are supposed to be, and these dark elves like to show that they have money, and a lot of it. I thought back to the day I'd witnessed the elves being carted off by the guards, and I tried to focus on what exactly they looked like. They definitely weren't the same group, so it must have been a crazy coincidence that the guards had chosen that specific breed. Once I'd finished pondering over the previous days, I peered at Ash and noticed that her expression was suddenly much more vulnerable than usual, and I shifted so I could look her in the face more easily. I found a hint of protectiveness in her pink eyes, and I could sense something strange coming from her that I couldn't quite name. "What's wrong?" I asked and brushed her silver-blue hair from her cheek. "Something's bothering you about this priest."
"I don't want you caught in another asshole's clutches. I want you to be your own master, and mine, without having to deal with bastards like that. What if this priest is just as shitty as the Dark King? What if..."
"Don't worry. I'll always be your master, and someone like this holy fucking priest won't take that away from us. Not ever. I'd sooner murder the man than allow him to gain any kind of upper hand on me." Ash sighed and bit her lip with worry, so I sent her a grin. As I inched closer to her lips, I let a tiny bit of smoke seep from behind my teeth, and by the time I let out a low growl, she couldn't help smirking. "Trust me."
"Always,"
she murmured, and then I devoured her mouth. When I finally laid back on the bed, Ash looked much less vulnerable again, and she sent me a scheming glance.
"But we are finding out about this priest, if only to ensure he could never even try to gain the upper hand over you."
"Deal. I've already begun thinking of a solution, but we have other issues to address in the meantime. Namely, as you mentioned, I don't think a glaive, flail, or even an onyx blade are sufficient to take on whatever these dark elves will be carrying. When the time does come to attack, we need the proper tools to see the jobs done well."
"What do you suggest we do about that?"
Ash asked with a greedy smile. "I think we should talk to the half-elf and see if he can tell us anything about killing dark elves. He'd probably know more than we do about their species, and he happens to sell decent weaponry."
"I'm up for a bit of research."
"Then let's go." We quickly changed into our clothes, and Ash combed through her silky silver-blue hair with her fingers as I threw some pieces into one of the sacks I'd taken from the trolls. I had a plan in mind to solve a couple of our issues, and it would definitely require a coin or two. I didn't know if the half-elf would be at the weapon shop already, but I knocked on the main door of his house with the hope that he'd still be inside. I heard a female voice faintly from inside the house, but then a familiar male voice broke in, and the door opened to reveal the half-elf we were looking for.
"Good morning," he nodded solemnly. "Is everything all right with the flat?"
"Yes, it's perfect. We only wondered if you might be able to be of assistance with something. We're curious about dark elves."
The half-elf looked over his shoulder briefly, and then he silently closed the door behind him.
"What do you need to know about the dark elves?" he whispered.
"We're wondering about their powers specifically."
"Why?" the half-elf asked outright.
"Well, we have some trouble with a group of dark elves, trouble that we'd like to handle delicately. And the more we know about them, the better. We don't have a lot of experience dealing with their kind."
The elf thought for a moment, and I watched as his eyebrows gradually furrowed.
"Dark elves are incredibly powerful," he replied in a low tone.
"The majority of dark elves increase their powers over the course of their lifetime, and most of them also use other objects to help amplify their abilities."
"Objects like magic orbs?"
"Orbs can be one of them, yes," he nodded. "Therefore, if someone were to take on a dark elf, they'd need some means of matching their powers, at the very least."
"Magical weapons?"
"Exactly,"
he nodded once again.
"And say someone needed to buy those magical weapons in a very discreet way," I led, "would they be able to purchase them at your shop?"
I have some that could be of use, the half-elf replied, and even though he still couldn't look me in the eye, I could sense his unease abating. Something more like intrigue was wafting from him now, and I got the impression he had no issue with helping remove a few dark elves from his area of Rengfree. Thank you, I smiled even though he couldn't see it.
You've been a great help,
Ash added politely. The shop will be open within the hour. The half-elf nodded his head lightly, and then he turned back into the house without saying another word.
What should we do until the shop opens?
Ash asked once we had walked away from the house.
I'm already starving again, of course.
We'll eat first thing, but I think I might know who could help us track down the vanishing human. If the black fairies were able to help find where the blessed lived, maybe they'd be able to sniff out this man, too. Sparkles did say they make it their business to know what goes on all over the port of Rengfree.
Back to Madame Neera?
Back to Madame Neera, I confirmed with a smirk.
Great. I kind of miss her already. She's devious, but in a very classy way. That's a new one for me.
I let out a laugh and then hooked her arm around mine as we started the walk to the marketplace. The streets were busier than they had been before the banquet, and now we shared the lanes with other beings, but thankfully none of the half-orcs or trolls gave us any attention. They seemed to be enjoying the freedom they had once again, and they continued on with their mundane tasks like it was any other day. I took 6 coins from the sack I carried to buy us both a leg of meat each, and then we shot off toward an alleyway in order to devour the meat in peace. I watched a few beings as we ate, and I even witnessed a black fairy pickpocket a seller as his back was turned. I wondered if Madame Neera allowed this sort of thing for the sake of gaining more coins, or if it was just the way of her fairies to cause their own sort of trouble when they wanted to. Either way, I was impressed with the considerable dexterity the black fairy had, and it was fascinating to watch as she worked. Once she had stolen the seller's money, she then acted like a regular customer, bought 3 of the empty potion bottles he sold in red, green, and blue, and then walked away to pick another target. She chose a woman who was selling large scraps of material, and as the black fairy rummaged through the various fabrics, she accidentally dropped them all to the ground.
Oh, goodness, I'm so sorry.
It's okay,
the woman said feebly. As the woman bent over and tried to pick up the fallen material, the fairy skillfully swooped her arm over the woman's arched back, and she delicately released the bag of pieces that hung from the seller's skirt. She had it slipped inside the scrappy folds of her own skirt before the seller stood up again. Then, just like she had done with her last target, the fairy chose the first piece of fabric she touched, paid for the item, and flapped her gauzy black wings to lift off into the air. I thought I heard a mischievous little laugh coming from her as she flew off down the lane, and the black fairy certainly looked pleased with her quick bit of work. Although it was amusing to watch her trickery, it made me realize how very little it took to amuse their kind. Demons weren't so easy to satisfy. I'd stolen from plenty of beings over several eons, and I imagined I would often have the need to do it again from here on out. But these sellers in the outer marketplace of the Shadow Quarters didn't seem to have an evil bone in their bodies. I wouldn't have received much satisfaction from robbing them, not unless they deserved to be robbed of their hard-earned money or goods. If these beings deserved to be robbed, though, then I probably would have taken their money and their lives at the same time. Ridding the surface world of the worst kinds of evil, while also increasing my own riches, sounded like a win to me. Just the thought of it made me excited, but I had to focus on other things today. I had to focus on the real reason we had entered the marketplace to begin with. There was a tall tower at the side of the square that had a giant clock face attached at the top. It was the 9th hour of the morning when we first arrived, and we didn't leave our spot until it had reached the 10th hour. By now, the half-elf would have opened his shop.
I hope I get a fucking fantastic blade,
Ash said as we made our way toward the shop.
It's been ages since I wielded a sword I loved.
You'd look incredibly sexy with a 2-handed sword. I could already imagine the view.
Ash in her sinful-looking blue dress, with her hair tied back in braids, and the sword in her hands, ready to strike. Even if this wasn't powerful enough to defeat the Dark Elves, I was determined to make this fantasy come to life for both me and Ash. If my demon lover wanted a perilous sword, then that was exactly what she'd get. The half-elf was serving another half-elf in the shop when we arrived, but we stood to one side and waited for the customer to finish his purchase before we approached the counter. It looked like he had bought a bow and arrow, but I only caught the shimmering red string of the bow as he walked past. "I have two weapons I can show you," the half-elf said quietly once the shop was deserted. "Thank you," I replied. The half-elf turned and went into the back of the shop behind a thin curtain. I heard him rummage around with something heavy for a few minutes, and then he returned with two long rectangular boxes in his hands. He placed both of the boxes on the counter, and they were dark blue and covered in dust, almost as if they hadn't been touched in ages. The first box revealed a black sword. The handle was made of twisted iron, and it curved down toward the blade. The base of the handle had a yellow jewel for the pommel, and a strip of gold ran down the center of the black blade before it widened out as it reached the tip. "This is actually a sapphire sword," the half-elf explained, and he pointed to the yellow-jeweled pommel. "Dark elves have a weakness to yellow sapphires, so this would be a good one to have on hand." I brought the sword out from the box and held it firmly in my grasp. It had some weight to it, and I knew if I had the right force in my swing, the blade could cut through both tissue and bone without a problem. "Excellent," I said with a pleased grin. The half-elf then opened the second box to reveal two separate weapons. One was much smaller than the other, and it was concealed in a small leather pouch. But the other was free for me to see, and I instantly knew what it was. I had used a sickle only once before, and my excitement ran wild at the thought of using one again. This sickle was much smaller than the one I had used for my past job in the hellscape, but it still had the broadly curved blade connected to the spiked handle. Two blue gems were secured to this weapon, one at the base of the blade and the other right below the tang of the handle. The half-elf then glanced anxiously toward the door of the shop before he opened up the leather pouch and pulled out five small knives that were about the same length as my hand. As well as the blades, he pulled out a strange-looking holster for them to sit in, and it had two straps around the back which were tied together with a metal buckle. "These are throwing knives. The sickle and the knives have power of their own, but I can show you that later in more detail. It'd be best no one sees me displaying these in here." I nodded in understanding, took the holster from the box, pulled up the sleeve of my jacket, and tied the straps around the top and bottom of my wrist. The tip of the holster was nestled neatly in my palm, and when I pulled the sleeves back down, the jacket hid the holster perfectly. I was interested to see the power the half-elf spoke about, but I could already see how effective it could be to have them on hand like this. Meanwhile, Ash's pink eyes were practically eating up the throwing knives, and the image of her with a double-handed sword from earlier was replaced with an even better one. This time she was throwing the knives straight into an elf's eyes, and blood sprayed from both eyeballs and painted Ash's dress in dark red. "How much would you take for these?" I asked as I placed the handheld holster back in the box. "I'd take 100 pieces for the lot," he replied after a second of thinking. I opened the cloth sacks and brought out the coins. It had left me with very little left inside, but we'd have to make a stop back at the flat before we visited Madame Neera's coven anyways. "Thank you," the half-elf said graciously. "I can send someone over to the flat later to discuss the weapons and how to use them." "I appreciate it, thank you," I replied. Ash and I both took one box each and left the shop with pleasant smiles on our faces. If they held the amount of power I hoped they did, we'd defeat these dark elves without an issue.
"I love those knives,"
Ash purred as we walked through the streets of the Shadow Quarters. I thought you would. I can't wait to see you wielding that sapphire sword, though.
And you with that sickle? Fuck, I wish we were already slaughtering those dark elves. I want to see their blood all over your sexy body.
Patience, I murmured, and I let just a hint of my demon voice slip out to make her blush. We arrived back at the flat and placed the weapons on the table beside the others. We now had a small selection at hand, but I couldn't wait for that collection to grow into something much more impressive, especially if we could get our hands on the supply of magical orbs soon. I put a couple of handfuls of pieces back into the sack so it was well weighted down, and then we left the flat again and locked the door behind us. "We'll need to find another black fairy in order for us to get past the veil outside Madame Nira's," I said as we started down the lane.
"We could try the tavern again. There were a few hanging around yesterday."
"Yeah, let's start there first. Although if this is so you can get another dragon's breath..."
"Of course not."
Ash sent me a cunning smile.
"It's so I can have two dragon's breaths. Or maybe three? Or 10? Oh, they were so delicious. I'm sure I could drink at least 5 down while you find us a black fairy."
"You little fiend." I sighed and shook my head, but then I dropped my arm around her shoulders and left a kiss in her silver blue hair. 2 dragon's breaths today. Ash smiled even wider and let out a greedy squeal, and I chuckled as I led her onward down the lane. We slipped through the back alleyways and the small lanes that led toward the same tavern as yesterday. I thought about checking out the marketplace, especially since we had seen a black fairy there earlier, but since Ash was so set on getting another couple of drinks for herself, I didn't mind the longer trek. The tavern was alive with laughter and music at this hour, and I even heard the telltale signs of mischievous giggles that had to have belonged to a black fairy as we approached. I opened the main door for Ash, and as soon as we entered, we took a seat at a spare table before we cast our eyes around the tavern to see who was present. A few orcs sat by the bar with tankards in their large, gray hands. They gulped back their drinks messily, and from the amount of liquid that poured down their fronts, it was almost like they had missed their mouths completely.
There we go.
I looked away from the grotesque orcs and followed Ash's eyes across the room. Right at the back of the tavern, practically hidden from sight, I could just make out the gauzy black wings and gray eyes of a black fairy. The pale-skinned fairy had deep blue hair that was almost black, and she wasn't alone. 2 other beings were sitting in front of her, but I couldn't work out who they were. All I saw was their hair, both long and dark, and the leather jackets both of them wore. From how broad their shoulders were, I assumed the beings were male, but there was no way for me to tell for sure from this angle. Then Ash casually nudged her hand against my sack of coins, and I smirked as I blindly scooped some pieces out and slid them over to her. My demon lover hopped up at once and headed to the bar, and I stared at the black fairy until Ash returned with 2 smoking tankards in her hands.
"No, I'm fine."
"They're both for me. You said I could have 2 today, master, and I am behaving. Please."
"Ha, huh. That's right. Well, enjoy." While Ash guzzled her drinks, I never took my eyes off the black fairy until she caught on to my presence. Her gray eyes widened ever so slightly when she noticed us across the tavern, but then they narrowed suspiciously as she arched a perfectly shaped blue eyebrow. I motioned with one hand for her to come over, and I even lifted up the sack of pieces to make the offer more appealing to her. The fairy immediately said something to the beings she was with, and then she promptly shifted out of her seat and wove between the other creatures of the tavern like she was performing a dance. The black fairy had on a silky purple dress that enhanced her full, pale cleavage, and the skirts stopped just below her ass cheeks. The dress had a few cuts and scrapes across the middle that revealed her pale stomach underneath, and I found myself salivating a bit as she approached.
I saw you watching me from across the room.
The black fairy purred with a slight grin on her lips. She took the spare seat beside me and crossed one slim leg over the other.
I suppose you're dying for my company.
I hope we aren't interrupting any important conversations, I replied as I subtly glanced toward the back of the tavern. The black fairy swatted her hand in the air.
They're nothing of importance, and they're not willing to meet my going rate. Our conversation was becoming tedious. Shame,
Ash replied with a soft laugh.
You certainly seem worth a fair price. Oh, I know. So few are worth my time, but you, however.
I pulled the sack of coins out of her reach as she casually leaned in quite close to me. We were hoping you could get us past the veil.
Veil?
The black fairy straightened up as her smile vanished.
What veil?
I rolled my eyes at her innocent question. We're needing to meet with Madame Nira, but we obviously can't get past the veil without one of you opening it for us. The black fairy crossed one arm over the tattered abdomen of her dress, and she played with the deep blue hair on her head for a painfully long moment.
And how do I know I can trust you to pass beyond our veil?
Because we have done so before. Madame Nira knows of us, Atticus and Ash. Nice to meet you. The black fairy's eyebrows raised at the statement, and she smirked the tiniest bit.
Ah, the demons. Yes, I've heard of you. Madame Nira appears quite taken by you both. Good. We like to make a memorable first impression. Oh, I'm sure you do with lips like that.
The fairy winked.
Okay, I'll help you, and for no charge. But only because Madame Nira would be quite displeased if I turned the pair of you away or took your coin for so little.
That's all we ask. Thank you. The three of us stood from the table and left the tavern without another word. The fairy took us in the direction of Madame Nira's coven, which wasn't far away at all. This was probably why they chose that tavern in particular to find new clients. The ancient stone buildings were easy to spot at the end of the lane, and the same sense of mischief and crime filled the air. But the veil Madame Nira had over her manor was impossible to see. Then the black fairy raised her palm, and the air in front of her turned a silky gray like it had yesterday. Thank you, I said as we passed through the mist. But when I turned around, she was already walking back up the lane. I briefly wondered if maybe she was going to head back to the tavern to complete her business with the two men, but then I opened the iron gate, and we walked up the path toward the dark red doors of the black house. One fairy was sitting in a downstairs window, and she watched as we opened the front gate and walked up the path. She never moved from her spot, but continued to play with her hair, and she sent me an inviting wink. I knocked my fist against the red door and waited patiently before a black fairy answered. She angled her svelte body against the door, and she let one hand play with the fabric that barely covered her breasts. She had an intrigued smile on her supple lips as she openly eyed me up and down, and I heard Ash quietly snickering to herself beside me. It really did seem to amuse her to no end how much attention these black fairies gave me, but I tried to ignore the instant lust wafting from the woman in the doorway.
How can I help you?
The black fairy murmured in an insinuating tone. We're here to see Madame Nira. Is she available?
That depends.
The fairy shrugged her tiny shoulders. On what? I frowned.
On why you need to see her.
Tell her that Atticus and Ash are here. The fairy rolled her large eyes playfully, and then she turned on her heels and headed back inside the black house. Other black fairies began to swarm around the open door as we waited for Madame Nira to appear. I nodded politely to their coy waves and smiles, and Ash brazenly hung on my shoulder while she waved right back at the sultry fairies. She even left a few nibbles on my ear just to show off that she was in my favor, and I tried so hard not to chuckle when the fairies started pouting instead. Then a loud clapping sound interrupted the amusing scene.
Clear away, darlings,
Madame Neera called out.
Mind the door.
The fairies all gave us one last look before they scarpered and returned to the shadows of the manor house. Madame Neera sauntered over and greeted us both with a warm smile.
Ah, my darling Atticus and Ash, what a pleasure it is to see you again so soon. Did you enjoy the banquet?
It didn't disappoint, I assured her, and I hoped she wouldn't ask for the glamorous clothes back, because she would need one hell of a seamstress to put them back together again.
Wonderful. And what can I do for you today?
We were hoping your fairies could assist us in another challenge, I explained, and then raised the entire sack of coins. A good portion of this is for them if they get us the intel we need very promptly. Madame Neera stared at the bag with hungry eyes, and then she offered me an adoring smile and stepped aside.
Right this way,
she purred with a wave of her hand. Ash and I followed her through the manor and past the flock of pretty black fairies who peered at us from their lounging spots. We were taken to the same room as yesterday, with the deep green curtain that separated the room into two parts. Madame Neera took her seat, and I smacked the bag of pieces down onto the wooden desk. The sound of so much money echoing around the room only caused her to smile even wider.
Tell me what you need from my fairies, Atticus.
I chose my words carefully. Although the black fairies had pulled through for us with the whereabouts of the Blessed, there was still the scent of cunning and deviousness that lingered in the manor, and Madame Neera certainly had no issues when it came to looking us in the eye. Until I knew her better, I didn't want to give her the chance to double-cross us. We're looking for a human.
A human? Whatever for. Their kind are so dull and short-lived.
Yes, but this one is important to us. He was last seen vanishing into thin air by using a blue orb, so he'll be difficult for us to track alone.
I see,
she mused with more interest.
And what does this man look like?
He is short with a round belly and has curly gray hair. His eyes were both green and blue, and he wore clothing that looked pretty worn out. I would wager he doesn't change his attire often, and when we saw him 2 days ago, he had on a dark blue jacket, white shirt, and old black pants.
Is that all you know of the man? No name or occupation?
Yes, I lied easily. I know nothing else about him.
And where did you see him?
In a tavern on the outskirts of the Shadow Quarters, the one on the Northwest Street. I figured this was all informative enough to be useful, but vague enough to avoid having the aged fairy guess our business.
And what do you need this man for?
Madame Neera asked with a smirk. I just need your fairies to bring him to me. I shrugged.
I see. You said the man had an orb. Do you know how he obtained that orb?
We have no idea. I lied again. He pulled it from his pocket and then vanished. I just need to talk to him. Madame Neera was quiet for a minute as she thought over my request. I had offered her more than enough money, and it should have been something that her ladies were able to do for me. But her pondering made me think perhaps she wasn't sure whether to accept my offer or not. Maybe she knew exactly who I was talking about and who the man worked for, and perhaps that was something she didn't want her darlings to get involved with. After some time, Madame Neera finally spoke again.
I'll see what we can do,
she said with a gentle nod. Thank you.
Where will we find you if my fairies are successful?
I gave her the directions to the flat we stayed at, and Madame Neera assured me she knew of the house I spoke about. It looked as though she had prepared to divvy out the pieces from the sack between us, but I wasn't quite done with the meeting yet, and I held up a hand as she stood up from her seat. We have one more thing we'd like to discuss, I said, and she relaxed back into the chair.
Go ahead.
Madame Neera smiled pleasantly. I gestured to the sack of coins on the table. I offered half this amount for your fairies to accomplish this task. The other half is for you, but only if you can tell us something rather important. The pleasant smile turned into one of intrigue, and she gladly leaned forward with her hands clasped on the tabletop.
Well?
I need you to tell me everything you know about a certain priest. He has brown hair, brown eyes, and looks like the sort of man who should have absolutely no place within the walls of the church. The confidence had gone from the aged fairy's expression all at once, and it was replaced with a look that was much more serious. You know of who I speak of?
My dear, what do you know about this priest?
I know he has a side business running for himself outside of the church, but I need to know more. Anything you have on him, any information at all, would be worth the rest of the coins in this bag. The fairy pursed her lips together like she didn't want to speak another word. She stared off into the corner of the room for several silent minutes, but her gray eyes would occasionally glance at the bag of money between us. I could actually see her trying to work out what was most important to her in this case, and whether she wanted the money more than wanting to keep away from the dangerous situation. Then she considered my face, and her brow wrinkled a little.
I can tell you one thing,
Madame Neera finally replied.
This man is clearly bad enough to do what others on this side of town won't. And because of this, I don't want any part in whatever your interests are with him.
Nothing at all. What if I were to double the price?
My dear, I have to think about my fairies. I have far too many of them to risk getting involved with this priest. You helped us with the Blessed, though.
Ash spoke up.
And you agreed to help track down the human for us. Yes, but do you realize how at large this priest is? Not only is he a powerful man, but he also has a load of undesirables in his clutches, and that just increases the power he holds. I refuse to endanger myself or my darlings over him.
I held back the sigh that tried to break through. It looked as though Madame Neera was adamant on her decision to stay quiet, but it only made me more curious about this man. His gang of worshippers couldn't have meant much to him if he constantly delved into these illegal dealings with the Dark Elves. But more than that, the aged fairy had just informed me he had similar arrangements with others in the area. This was interesting. Does he blackmail the undesirables? I asked curiously. Her wording about being in his clutches made me feel this must be the case. Madame Neera didn't speak her answer this time, but the subtle nod she gave me told me everything I needed to know. So, that mask he put on at the banquet last night was just that. A mask. He's no holier than I am, in any way. I knew she wasn't going to say anything else, but she didn't argue with the statement. She just kept her lips pursed. Since she hadn't supplied nearly enough to be worth the price I offered, I moved to divvy out the coins from the sack in front of me. Thank you for allowing us to see you, I said as I slowly untied the bag. We appreciate your help with finding the human.
I'm sorry you couldn't help us with this other task.
I began pulling handfuls of coins from the bag, but the fairy looked at the sack with an expression on her face that made it seem as though she was thinking over my offer once again. I left the coins on the table instead of in my pockets while I worked, and when I was about to reclose the bag with only the payment for her fairies inside, she suddenly spoke up.
Wait.
I paused in my work and glanced up. Yes?
I have something that may help you.
Excellent. I grinned, and Ash and I sat back down.
I cannot tell you much, but I assure you it is worth the price, and it may help the situation you are in. If any of this comes back to me, though, I will make sure you're held accountable.
We understand, I nodded. Madame Neera thought it through for a second, and then she turned her head to look directly at Ash.
You should take a walk around Pixie Lane at 5 PM. You'll want to leave Hansen behind so as not to draw too much attention, and you'll certainly want to wear red.
With that, Madame Nira shoveled her share of the coins into the sack and disappeared through the thick green curtain behind her.
"Why?"
I demanded before she could escape.
What is all this about?"
The Black Fairy let out a deep sigh and then turned back around to face us again.
"Like I said, I cannot tell you much, but I can tell you."
There was a slight pause in her sentence, like Madame Nira was trying to work out how to continue without revealing too many secrets at the same time.
"You'll see a red witch in that area."
The fairy looked at Ash directly.
"Wear red to help you blend in, but you need to go alone. I cannot stress that enough." "Okay, but why?" "Because you're already pushing it. Due to the Red Witch being there, Pixie Lane is constantly being watched. It's far safer for one of you to hide in the shadows than it would be for the two of you. Especially if the one on the street is a woman. They'll just think she's another witch. Now, go. I will tell you nothing else."
The Black Fairy turned on her heels and vanished behind her curtain with a slightly anxious huff. And I glanced sidelong at my demon lover as the sound of the Madame's high heels faded somewhere deep in the strange manor.